Good morning. You're very welcome to Liberty Church. God is good. All the time, God is good. You know, I just want to invite Stephen Geraghty up for a minute. Hey, I'm just going to ask Stephen to take 1 minute to shame the devil.
You see, Eddie said it there, very confident and all that. And it's no problem for me to go up here and spin a few jokes or give a good sermon. But when it's something... But I was really challenged over this year, and probably have a last year, about just coming up and doing something of God, because I didn't feel very godly, although I was. So I was listening to a lie of the devil in my head. And in the men's impact group here in the Wednesday night, we were talking about breaking strongholds. And I can feel the anxiety in my stomach now, you know, because my head is telling me, sit down, you dope, you know, but I'm not. So I was having a shave this morning, and I was saying to the Lord, you know, I want to step out. I want to take authority over this part here, to become a teacher, preacher, whatever, you know, God wants me to do. And the Lord says to me, you know, he says, I'm alive in you. So that means that you're alive in me. So everything that's alive in him is good, because what he makes is good. So I had to run out and write this down. So he says to me, look, I says to him, I says, once I was lost, he says, but now you're found. Now you're found. He says, go up and take that, Mike. So I approached Noel this morning and I said to him that he has no longer got power over this in that area of a stronghold, because Jesus came in and broke it. And you see, we were studying this other night. They're the things he uses. He's not going to offer me heroin. He's not going to put me in front of someone that's taking heroin. Because I do that anyway, because I don't take heroin anymore. It just doesn't bother me at all. So, but he puts this in front of me. You won't go up there. You won't carry out a word of God, because you're not pure. You're not this. You're not even saved. Well, I say, I stand firm now here in the blood. And I say that I am saved. You know, and this is for everybody. This is for everybody that has that type of thinking, that he has that stronghold over us. Because when I was small, they wouldn't put my hand up in school because of the way I see myself. And I'd say that's where the stronghold began. But now he broke that, and he broke that in some of the men. And he wants to break that in everybody. You know, I'm alive in him, he's alive in me. If you're not alive in him this morning, you know, put your hands in the air. That's great. Because we're all alive in him. Because John 3:16 says that he gave his only begotten son, because of everybody in the world, but this is my house, this is my gaff, everybody in liberty would live in freedom. Amen.
Amen. He's very nervous. But listen, this is what I got out of what Stephen said to me this morning. That every time he tries to do something, Stephen is confident. But you need more than something than confidence when you're doing something for God. You need his anointing. And every time he tried to do something, the devil would play his card. So you're this. You're not talking properly. This is not going right for you. That is not going right for you. And him and all the rest of us can focus on that and look after Stephen or anyone else after the flesh. Or we can look after him after the Spirit of God. Meaning this, that God has a plan for your life. You will have a great marriage. You will preach the Word of God. You will stand up and be a leader, not in your own strength, but out of something that God is doing within you. And Stephen, we look at you, not after the flesh. We see your flesh, don't we? It's all to see.
Not great.
But we see it after the Spirit. And we just pray this day, Father, because you represent all of us, Stephen. You're not just representing Stephen. You're representing every man and woman that walks in with this baggage, where the devil can point out and say, you're not good enough. What you did. Look what you haven't got together. You always tell us what we haven't got together. I'm telling you what you have got together. That everything you need is in Jesus Christ. And we release you into a new place in God. And that the overflow of that will be on all those that you love and those that are around you, in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen. 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 We're in the middle, or nearly coming to the end, of a series called Illuminate. And Illuminate is word for the year has been that God's promise is that we would go into a mode of enlargement, of stretching forward to 10 pegs, of our, that our reach would be longer and wider and stronger. And we started with saying that the center pole of every tent is the most important pole in the tent, because everything else is strung off of that pole. So if the pole, the center pole, is not down deep, your reach won't be long. Your reach won't be out there. It will be, it'll be very tight. And God has not called us to be tight. Our lives are supposed to be magnanimous lives. Lives that are always, there's something emanating, coming out of us. Everywhere we go, we're the light of the world. We're the big event of God everywhere we go. So his calling us is not to be small and tight and have it all in a little circle. God gives us colors, or gives us permission to color outside of the lines that has been placed around us. You don't have to stay in that circle anymore. But depending on how deep the center pole is, will determine how far your reach is. That makes sense? So we started off with our theology, what we believe about Jesus, who Jesus is. Why did he come? Why did he die? All the stuff that you've learned over the last couple of weeks. And this week it's on illuminate the church. And we're going to get through probably one point today. It's only 10 to 12, praise the Lord. Just turn it back a bit, Lord, to half 11. But I want to tell you, you can be liberated today when I speak. In fact, I release your mind and your heart. I take captive every thought that would set itself up against the word of God today. I take captive every vain imagination that would try to distract you from what God has for you this day. You're coming home today, son. You're coming home today, daughter. You're going to meet a father who is absolutely madly in love with you today, in Jesus' name. If you want another point, come to Bray tonight at 6. When you see what I have to tell you tonight in Bray, it won't be on the podcast, so you won't be able to get it. But there'll be something released into the church tonight and pray. There'll be something released into liberty over these next couple of sermons. I believe that with all my heart. What is the church? Who is the church? What is the church supposed to be about? What's some of the misconceptions that the church, that people have of the church? People think that these services is the church. People like, I've been in church today. Was church good today? Meaning that, like, was the service good? And we get mixed up and muddled up in our thinking. Don't let anything distract you from here this morning. We think the clergy is the church. Pastors and priests and ministers. No, they must be it. They have a special ear to God. Yet there's people that have functions in God. But the clergy doesn't make, is not the church. Denominations is not the church. Buildings is not the church. We go by buildings and we go, I'm going to the church. Or we bless ourselves in this country going by a building. As if the building is the church. But that is not the church. The Bible says that we are the church. The people of God are the church. The Greek word for it is the ecclesia, meaning the called out ones. Those who have been in darkness, who have been called out of this world to not live according to the system of this world, but to live according to a system that is kingdom system. That we've been called out of darkness. We no longer have to live according to the old rules and regulations and obligations to darkness and sin, because we don't belong to that world anymore. That's the church. It's not people that go to church every day to a building. It's not people going to a building doesn't make you a Christian, doesn't make you a called out one. No more than going to McDonald's makes you a burger. No more than going to a garage makes you a car. You can go to church every day of your life, but it still doesn't make you a child of God. Scary, isn't it? So, what is the church? The church is the called out ones of God. Those who have come out of darkness into the kingdom of light. Not those who just do religious activity, but those who actually have been brought into a relationship with Jesus Christ. There's a universal church. You belong to something much bigger than you're sitting in this morning, or who you're sitting with this morning. Listen to what Ephesians 3:10 says. His intent was that now, through the church, the called out ones, the you and I, that the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and the authorities in heavenly places. That it's God's intent that through the church, that the manifold wisdom of God, the power, the authority of God, would be made known to the heavenly places through you and I. There's one, how do you even say this? 1.9 billion called out ones, Christians, in this world. 1.9 billion, I think, was the last. Now, that's a count. I don't know even how they do that count. Because if you go to China, there's millions and millions of Christians that can't confess that they're Christians publicly because they'll be put into prison. Or can't have a gathering like this because they'll be put into prison. I met a girl when I was away. She was part of this underground church that they couldn't, when if they were just dragged in and they were beaten up and whatever. She was sent out when she was 16 from her village to go to somewhere to plant a church. 16 years of age. She slept in fields. She lived off the land till she found somebody in a village and led them to the Lord. And that was the start of the church in the village. She got arrested. They put her in a chair, tied her up. Every Christian that's in the underground church that we belong to in China has a church name. So her name was Jesus Loves You. Her real name was something else when she was with her friends, but when the authorities took her, she moved into her church name. She was getting terrorized by them. What's your name? Jesus Loves You. No, what's your name? Jesus Loves You. Our best friend was called It's Only By Grace. Because even when they were getting tortured, their goal was to tell someone that God loves them. The whole life was about emanating the gospel coming out of every part that was within them. That's the church we belong to. The worldwide church. And then there's the local church. Like we're in a local church. The close by church. The church where people can easily get to. In this church, we try to connect people together because it's hard to connect with this amount of people. That's why we have link groups. So that we can bring from the universal church to the local church into even a smaller setting of the church, people being together, so that we connect you. So that you can find a place of encouragement. You can find a place of friendship. You can find a place of intimacy. You can find a place of learning and teaching other people and being the light to other people. That's why we have link groups. So that you're not just out there on your own, but you have a place to come that is smaller and intimate. We also have our Saints and Scholars coming up. I'm really looking forward to the next Saints and Scholars sessions. A place of learning, a place of equipping, a place of releasing the church to be the church in the city. One of the concepts in the scriptures of the church is the family of God. Listen to what Ephesians says again. For through him, Jesus, we both have access to the Father by the one Spirit. That we become children of God when you're called out, when you give your life to Christ. That you become a son or a daughter who has a father who is absolutely magnificent and yet is fully involved in the day-to-day of our lives. Listen to what John says. Yet to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God. Galatians, Paul says, you are all sons. Even the girls are sons. But we're also called the bride of Christ, so we're the bride. Well, Paul says, you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. So we're brothers and sisters. We're family. We're in this together. You know what he said? You can pick your friends, but you can't pick your family. In the kingdom of God, you don't get to pick your friends or your family. Because it's the Father who does the picking. And all is welcome. There's no snobbery in the kingdom. There might be snobbery in the people of the church that gather together. And shame on snobbery. But in the kingdom, in the Father's eyes, we're beautiful. We're magnificent. We're brilliant in every way possible in his eyes. Now when someone says, look, that's a real mother or a father speaking. You know, their son could be a terror in the church or in school. And the mother or the father still says, that's my little Johnny. But that wouldn't melt in his mouth. The Father knows us fully and loves each one of us fully. And what the Father wants is that the family be one. That there's no divisions between us. That there's no hanging on to stuff. There's no jealousy. But when there is, we have to deal with it. Because the Father doesn't want us. Jesus taught us to pray our Father. He says, this is where you start with who he is. I spoke on this a couple of weeks ago. This is how you pray. You see who he is, and then you see what everything else is. Then you see the reality of everything else. If you focus on the reality of a problem, it blocks you from the Father. You look at the Father, you read your word, you know who he is, and you go, well, Lord, you can do more than I can imagine or think. Let's look at that problem. You look at the problem, it blocks you out. What? God loves you. No, this is a problem. The problem tells you all the opposite stuff. But when you look at him as the Father, and this is what I want, this is what I'm saying about freedom today. If you get this, you'll get everything. You are not an orphan. You are not an orphan. You know why the church does be at war with each other? Because there's an orphan spirit in the church. There's an orphan spirit when you're in the world. That's an awful, orphan spirit. But when we come to the church, we act like orphans because we're not really sure that we live out of the old man still and the insecurities of the old man. And the fears of the old man, as if we're not being called out. Jesus said this to the disciples, I will not leave you as orphans. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And he comes to us in the power of the Spirit, and he gives us a spirit of adoption. So that we can call out Abba Father, just like Jesus could call out Abba Father. When you understand this, you're free. You're free from the misplaced securities that become our insecurities. We place our insecurities into the wrong places of securities. And we find them lacking every time. I've been looking at this for a long while. I stood at the city gates and I prayed over Dublin and I said, Dublin, you're not an orphan anymore. There's a Father in heaven that loves you, Dublin. There's a Father who wants to gather you to himself and show you his love and bring the security of heaven into your life. I've spent 7 years going to Belarus and I've seen how the orphan spirit operates in a home in Belarus in the orphanage. And when I mirror that in my own life at times, I'm like, my goodness, no, you're acting like an orphan. When I give in to the spirit of God, God won't come true. Or God has left me. I'm giving in to the spirit of an orphan. When I think my Father in heaven won't provide for me, won't make a way for me, I'm giving in to the spirit of an orphan. I'm allowing the orphan spirit in me to rule the roost. So what are some of these characteristics of an orphan? they land in two categories, and they're broad categories. But one is either you shrink back away from people, or the other is you try to dominate people. And you see it in the orphanage in Belarus, the little ones that they're timid and shy and withdrawn, because they're terrified of putting themselves out on the line again. And then there's ones that are like fighting their way through. There's ones that want to rule everyone else, but it's still the same spirit operating, just different manifestations. And how does it work itself into our lives? Restlessness. The prodigal son ran away. He had a restlessness in him, and when he ran away, he forgot that he was a son and became an orphan. And the way an orphan spirit plays out, it plays out in this, the inability to have a relationship that's lasting. Because we're always running away. It doesn't work out, we run away. We don't get what we want, we run away. And it's all rooted in a lack of trust. It's all rooted in, I'll only depend on myself. There's a fear of commitment, and there's a paranoia about other people's motives. So what we do is we run away. I say this, if you're a serial church hopper, you're an orphan. You're running, you're restless. I'll get a bit of love and acceptance here. And we get it and we get it for a while, don't get me wrong. But it doesn't satisfy the orphan spirit. The spirit, orphan spirit is so needy. It's so lacking that man's love and acceptance could be poured in from day one to the end, and it will still fall right through the gap, because it can only be filled when it's put right, because Adam and Eve and all of mankind became an orphan way back in the Garden of Eden. And it's only the reversal of the cross that can bring that spirit to book, and it can bring the rest of Jesus Christ into our spirits. I'm never going to call anyone a church hopper anymore. I'm going to say, often, come on home. Put your roots down in the family. Some family. I don't care if it's not here. Some family. Amen. Another often spirit characteristic is a lack of submission. A hatred of authority. A distrust to leaders and people in authority, questioning their motives, like distrust speaking again. They have no one's interests. They haven't got my interests at heart, they've only their own. The lack of submission plays out as they get more than me, therefore the person that's given the more to me, I'm shutting them out, I'm not going to listen to them. They get better attention off my mouth, they got more love. And we see everything through this. Therefore, I'm not gonna trust that figure anymore. Always watching. How come they got that? How come they're being blessed by God and I'm not? It's an orphan spirit. Because that's saying my father doesn't love me. He loves her or him better than me. It's a lie. A lack of purpose. I don't know where I'm going with my life. I don't know what direction I have in my life, because there was no founding influence of a father speaking in. Passing interests, passing fads, fillers for a time, or I'll do this or go there, the best singing there, the best song there, the best clothes, the best cars, the best everything, and it's all falling through because it's only a passing fad because I've no direction. Because when you have direction, if you're running a race and you're getting to the finish line, it doesn't matter what distractions are there. But you have direction, you know where you're going. All the other distractions, you go, I see it. But adios, goodbye, I'm going to my finish line. But an orphan spirit is, and it's only for a time. We go to other countries. It's only for a time. Because you need to come home. A fear of making mistakes. An inability to make decisions about your life. Major decisions become like a mountain because you're afraid of the consequence if you get it wrong. You're going to fail. Get used to it. But fail forward. Rather than getting so knocked back that you won't even make a decision about what clothes you'll wear. You want someone else to make that decision for you. Where will I go to live? Where will I go to college? Where will I serve God? And someone's always making the decision because you're afraid of the consequence. That's an orphan spirit. Because when my kids make mistakes, which they don't. Now, Sharon. No. Do I say out of here, I don't own you anymore? Do I say, this is the fifth time today you made a mistake, that's it, to the pigsty with you and the prodigals? I say, no, come here, let me help you. Let me give you some advice into this. Get back up. Come on, we walk again. Why? Because I'm a father. And I'm not orphans. A fear of intimacy. A fear of drawing near to people. So they're going to find out how ugly and bitter I am anyway, so I might as well blow it now before they get the chance to put me out. I might as well walk away now because when they know who I really am, what I've done, they won't want anything to do with me. That's an orphan spirit. Because we say time in and time out. We've all done something wrong. We've all failed. We've all picked up a cloak of shame somewhere or it's been put on us. And the beauty of the Father and Him bringing us into His family, He knows it. And still chose you to be a child. But when we come to the family, we go back into orphan spirit and we go, I can't let anyone know who I am. So we put makeup on it, we put dye on it, we put clothes on it, but it's still on it. It's still there. So we do things to blow it. We deal out of all the other stuff. Don't trust them. Don't let them in. Don't let them into my circle. Run away, run away, run away. Go to the pigsty. I'd rather be at the pigsty than actually be intimate with someone else in this world. That's what we're saying. If they know who I am, find somebody they can trust. And make yourself known to somebody. Not to everybody, because that's not wisdom. But to somebody. I'm not afraid about what I know about people. I'm afraid of what I don't know about people. Because believe me, what I've been told about people and what I know in my own heart as a person, nothing that none of us haven't got at some stage. And this is the way it works out in the orphanage. You go into the orphanage. And you get a little kid. And you see them the first few days. They're boxing you. Pinching you. Fighting with you. Spitting at you. Why? Because they're saying, you reject me. Because I know in the end you're going to reject me anyway. Because I've an orphan spirit. And I look at the church, not only here, but in the world. And in my own life, I've known this. I'm like, I'll move away before they move away when they find out what I'm really like. So I punch, or I bark, or I spit, or I bite, or I isolate myself. I remember Stephen bought a little train for one of the guys, Vlad. And I was trying to break down this little fella called Dennis. And Dennis was, anyway, I always get the maddest team before some of the other guys came on board Belarus. So there was a guy, Vlad, the year before that Stephen Geraghty connected with. And he said, there's another boy coming called Dennis. He's 10 times worse than Vlad. Give him to Noel. 10 times worse than Vlad? Stephen brings Vlad over, the little boy that he connected with. Fire engine. Four-man suit. And I'm sitting with Dennis on my lap. You know, I'm after being breaking him down. Pinching me, bit me, boxed me. Eventually, I think I have him. And he kept saying to me, Papa, I kept pointing at Vlad's engine. I want that. And I was like, I had nothing for him. But I knew there was a party at the end of the week. and I was trying to communicate in Dublin English, that he'd get something later on. I kept saying, after. I'd point at that, and he'd go, that. And then he'd look over again, Abba. I'm like, Dennis, after. Going through this a little bit, he looks over again, and he goes, Papa, and I goes, after. He gives me such a box. And this one in the eye. You ever get a box in the eye when a spark flies out? And he goes to me, not after. That's the truth. Like, after, boom, not after. He doing everything. I battered that young fella flat, took the engine off him. But he was like, I'm doing that to get you away from me because I know eventually you're going to throw me away now. I know you're going to push me out of your life. So I'm getting the upper hand, not after. But I'm telling you, there's people that I meet and you're doing the same. Not after. I'll stay in orphan. I'm used to being an orphan. I'll live this way till I die. But there's a father who is saying, I want you to know my fathering, my fatherhood breaks all of that. Striving for perfection and approval is huge, unquenchable desire to succeed at every cost. Because you want people to say, well done, well done, well done, well done. It's like everything is driven. If I do this, if I win another medal, you see people killing themselves in sports. All they're waiting to hear is a daddy saying, I love you, well done. There's people that put their bodies through hell to look good, to hear someone say, you're gorgeous. But what they're really, really waiting for is a father in heaven to say, you're lovely just the way you are. I don't care if you don't win another medal, run another race, seal another deal. I love you just the way you are. Never belonging. Feeling like we're always on the outside looking in. Looking in through a window. There used to be a marker down here in Bundalmas Barn called the Elephant Marker. Anyone, Mick, you must remember that. Where the snooker hall is, where. And it was a supermarket, and I remember sitting outside, standing outside one day, and I looked in, they had a bakery section. I was looking in at the cream donuts, like that. I must have been about 2 foot at the time, honestly. I was a tiny little fella, and looking in, I wanted to go in, miss if you got any stale cakes or something. Like, I was looking in, I don't care if the cream is rotten, just give me one of them. And like, I'm looking in, my eyes is telling everything, but I was on the outside. I wasn't able to smell the cake, I wasn't able to touch it, I could see it. Please, and the woman came out, come on in. I walked in like that, I thought I still had to. She gave me two fresh cakes. I ran over to the old folks in Donald's Barn. I was destroyed. I was like stuffing them in my mouth. But I felt on the outside till so I was called onto the inside. And when I got called onto the inside, the prize of the cake was given to me. And the father is saying, come on in. I've died. My son died on the cross so you could be an insider. That you're not just peering from the outside because he has crowns of righteousness. He's cakes to give you. He's joy and laughter and fun and freedom and liberty to give you. So, stop peering in from the outside. You're an insider, not an outsider, you big lovable lump. Let's finish because we're going to pray. It's a matter of inheritance. An orphan hasn't got an inheritance. But you have an inheritance. Listen to Galatians. Therefore, you are no longer a slave. No, Kenny version. You are no longer a slave. You're no longer someone that needs approval. You're no longer someone that has to peer in the window. You're no longer an outside. He goes on to say, you're a son. And if a son, then you are an heir. True God. You know, a slave doesn't get the inheritance. So Galatians, Paul is telling us what we really are, that you are a son and you get an inheritance. And when you know you're a son, you walk like a son, you talk like a son, you give like a son, you act like a son, you act as if you're somebody and not a nobody on the outside. And we have an inheritance. And if the devil, who is so real, can keep you and I as an orphan, that means we're not living out of our inheritance. Here's another one for you. Kill me afterwards. Do what you want. If you're not a tither or a giver, you're an orphan. You have no trust in the Father. Wow. I just got that this morning while he was washing my face. I was like, what? See, God doesn't call us to give. That's not how God fundraises. That's how God raises his children. He's given us every opportunity to not being an orphan. So we're givers of our life. We're givers of our money. Like, I'm like, wow, Lord. We're givers of our talents and our treasures and our time. That, like, because why? Because everything that an orphan says, harder up. Do you remember in Belarus, after the dinner table, like, the bread was like cardboard. We were saying we could play table tennis with the bread. It was so hard. The kids would come down after their dinner. They'd put it all up their jumper. It was like going back to the flats for me, honestly. Like, you know, a Marietta when I was young was like, man, a four-course meal. We got them at Christmas once a year, and we treated that Marietta as if it was precious gold. And I could see it in the kids. Come down to get the bread under the jumper. Back up. We have to search the bags when they're going home because they're light fingered, you know? So you wouldn't know what's in the bags. We goes into a young Pasha. You know Pasha that Deborah had? Sasha or Pasha? Sasha. Little boy that watched his dad kill his mom. His whole case, there was no clothes and he didn't care about the clothes. All full of bread. All full of bread. Forget where I said that. I haven't got a clue why I said it. Huh? What? Yeah. The orphan spirit hurts. Because I don't know what I have tomorrow. The son, like, here. The sonship spirit is like, what my father will provide. If his eye is on the sparrow, how much more greater is his eye on me? If he looks after the sparrow who was a bird, how much more the son? So he gives us these opportunities to give because the only thing that holds us back is an orphan spirit. So give. We have an inheritance. If we have an orphan spirit, we'll work like an orphan. If we have a sonship spirit, we'll work like a son. We'll walk like a son. Galatians says you're no longer a slave, you're a son who has an inheritance. Like the prodigal son, you can go to the father and say, Father, what's my inheritance? Can I have my inheritance? Do you know what the father said? Here you go. There you go, son. Here's the scripture. Let's stand. A son's behavior is, it's a spirit of acceptance, a spirit of rest, a spirit without fear, a spirit that has good relationships and builds good relationships, a spirit of commitment and submission, of intimacy, a spirit that is included in God's plans, because you're not a slave, you're a son. And he loves to tell his sons things. He actually tells his sons things that he won't tell slaves. A spirit of loved and is able to love. A spirit of giving. A spirit of significance and not just survival. Paul says in Romans, you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by him we cry out, Abba, Father. Now you have not received a spirit of fear, but a spirit of sonship. Because I know this cuts every way. I'm like, if you don't respond to this, you're deaf or refusing to be. You're deaf or happy to stay in an orphanage. Your choice. Happy to stay in your addiction, to hide away in your orphanage. Happy to stay with your longing for approval of man. It wears you out. It wears us out. It's insatiable hunger. You could win the Olympic 100 meters, 10,000 meters. It still won't satisfy in the end. Because you have to come home. So right now, just before God, will you just tell him, Lord, I'm home. I want to come home. Father, I've been living out in the orphanage of this world. I've been living in the orphanage of my mind, of my behavior. I've been acting out of that stuff, Lord. And your word says that you've not given us a spirit of fear or slavery, but a spirit of sonship. So that I can cry out, Abba, Father. My Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done in liberty this morning as it is in heaven. Forgive us our sins. Give us our bread. I don't know how to really do this other than as a step. Even if it's only to walk up and walk back down. But just as a symbol. Look, we've all been in the orphanage. See, shame of being an orphan will keep you in the orphanage. That's all I know. That's all I'm good for. So what I want us to do. I wonder would Peter and Rob come. Maybe three of us stand here together. And I want you to come somehow. If you want to stay, stay, yeah. But if you want to just, what I'd like you to do is just come walk by us. And as fathers of the house, that we just lay our hands on you as you're going by. If you want to stay for prayer a little longer, you just do that or go to your knees there or dance, whatever. But that we're just going to break this. See, it affects us all, doesn't it? It affects us all. So, Father, here's your kids. These are your beautiful ones, Father. Father, we just say today over each one, oh God, that we're breaking the orphan spirit, that the effects of it and the characteristics of it, Lord God, that, Lord, we challenge you right now with the spirit of sonship, the Holy Spirit, Lord, who brings us in, Father, from the outside to the inside. And, Lord, we pray just as we lay hands on your people, Father, as elders, as fathers of the house, Lord God, that, Lord, we release freedom, liberty, we release sonship, we release the capacity to receive inheritance. You will make decisions. You will not fear. You will enter into relay. Your marriage will be different when you get a hold of this. Your relationships will be different when you get a hold of this. That from this day forward, every time you act out of orphanage, that you will challenge it in the name of Jesus. You will be challenged. The Spirit of God inside you will tell you you're living as an orphan. You're living as an orphan. And you're going to have a decision every day to step away from it. And the further every time you step away from it, the orphanage is way in the distance. And the pigsty is in the distance. And you're back living in the Father's house with full rights of a son or a daughter. Hey, let's just put your hand on the person beside you. This is great. This is the family. This gets bigger, doesn't it? So we're going to pray for one another. You're going to set your brother free. You're going to set your sister free. You know what God has set you. You're not living there anymore. Father, bring healing in the name of Jesus. Father, we just break cancer in the name of Jesus. We break it off, Lord. We leave her in the orphanage of this world, oh God. In the name of Jesus, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, I release, Father, the love of God. The love of God. Let's just start praying. Just pray, Father, show my sister your love. Show my brother the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Just come on. Those who are standing down there, don't step in. If you're standing on your own, you're being an orphan. And you're not listening to me. So don't be on your own. Don't shy away into the corner, up into your room, hide under the covers. No, this is not the time for that. This is the time to come out. This is the time to be alive. This is the time to celebrate. This is the time to say, I'm not some orphan. I've been fathered, and I say it over Dublin. Lord, as I say over Dublin, I say it over Liberty, that you are not an orphan. That you've been given the spirit of sonship. And you can call out, Abba Father, just as Jesus called out, Abba Father, my daddy who art in heaven, I love you, Lord. And I say today, pour out the spirit, Lord God. Pour out your spirit this day, Father God. Pour out your love into our hearts by the power of your spirit whom you've given us, O God. Yes, come on. Don't be quiet. Orphans are quiet. Ask them. Say, Daddy, Daddy, give, Father. Can I have, Father? Don't be shy. You don't need to be shy around him. He says, if you ask anything, I will give it to you. You have not because you've asked not. Amen. Start speaking into each other's lives. Start speaking in. Don't go down. Just start speaking into each other's lives. Because you can hear God the Father because you're the Son. You can hear God the Father because you're a son.